This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to look at messages, look at entertainments, look at sentiments, look at political actions that maybe, just maybe, can help bring our country together. Maybe help to address that sense of isolation and separation and loneliness and polarization and disconnection that really has become a grave national problem. That's why it's so shocking when you actually hear that in this polarized country, there is at least one story that indicates that people on both the left and the right can support the idea of religious liberty. And yes, it's to a limited context, and no, it does not end all of the disputes we have in the United States, though there is a new Gallup poll that shows that what used to be one of the most explosive and divisive issues in the country is not so much of an issue anymore. It's basically been settled. It was settled by the Supreme Court. They used to say the Supreme Court reads the election returns. People on the court often, and this goes back to Chief Justice John Marshall, who understood that part of the court's power depended upon the extent to which the decisions would be supported, not just by the executive branch and the legislative branch, but by the common people, by ordinary Americans. And that, of course, is one of the great disasters that helped to bring on the Civil War, was the Dred Scott decision was an extreme and ridiculous and racist decision that was rejected by a majority of Americans. If you count North and South, it was rejected overwhelmingly in the North, and also created trouble for a lot of Southerners. In any event, that has not been the case regarding the Obergefell decision a couple of years ago, because the Obergefell decision appears to have basically settled public opinion regarding same-sex marriage. Supporters of same-sex marriage, now, in the middle of Pride Month, Gallup did a poll. They asked in the survey, do you believe that same-sex marriage is appropriate, or that it should not be, our laws should not be adjusted? They asked people, should not have been adjusted to accommodate people of same-sex marrying. Same-sex marriage now has 70% support. It even has a majority support among Republicans. When Gallup first asked that question in 1996, it drew 27% support. So going from 27% to 70% is a big change. 84% of young adults, 72% of middle-aged adults, and 60% of older adults said in the poll they support same-sex marriage. The 83% support among Democrats is consistent with a level seen in recent years, but now a small majority of Republicans, 55%, support same-sex marriage for the first time. What's stunning, though, coming out at the same time as those figures, is the idea that even within the Biden Justice Department, and I think the Biden administration generally, has gone way to the left of what people expected. But here's one that's surprising. Coverage in the Washington Post, which has been pretty reliably supportive of some of the more extreme left-wing positions that the Biden administration has taken. This is different. They report the Justice Department, in a court filing this week, said it can vigorously defend a religious exemption from federal civil rights laws that allows federally funded religious schools to discriminate against LGBTQ plus students, a move that surprised some LGBTQ advocates who said the wording went further than just an obligation to defend an existing law. In the filing, the Biden administration said, quote, it shares the same ultimate objective as the conservative Christian schools named in the case. At issue in Hunter versus U.S. Department of Education are 40 LGBTQ students at conservative religious colleges and universities who are suing the government for its role in providing funding to schools with, quote, discriminatory policies. The schools say they have a First Amendment right to promote traditional religious beliefs about sexuality and gender. The plaintiffs seek safety and justice for themselves and for the countless sexual and gender minority students whose oppression, fueled by government funding and unrestrained by government intervention, persists with injurious consequences to mind, body, and soul, reads the March lawsuit that was filed in U.S. District Court in Oregon. The Justice Department's inaction leaves students unprotected from the harms of conversion therapy, expulsion, denial of housing and health care, sexual and physical abuse and harassment, as well as the less visible but no less damaging consequences of institutionalized shame, fear, anxiety, and loneliness. But the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, whose members include many of the schools named, said in a May motion that the Biden administration couldn't be trusted to adequately defend the school's beliefs and may be openly hostile to them. However, the Justice Department this week filed an opposition to the Christian colleges and universities' request that they be removed and said that we share the same ultimate objective, namely to uphold the religious exemption as it currently applies. The parties' shared interests, the filing said, are identical. And what that means is that because it is a matter of religious teaching and religious commitment and religious conscience for some people to treat homosexuality, basically, same-sex attraction and expression, to treat that as a matter that violates religious teaching, the Biden administration, the Biden Justice Department under Merrick Garland, appears to be standing up on that principle. Shirley Hoogstra, who's president of the Council on Christian Colleges and Universities, said she was relieved to see the Biden administration say it wants to defend religious exemptions and feels Christian schools that will be affected by the case should have a representative at the table. We'll see what happens. We're pleased they want to defend the religious exemption. Okay, a little bit of a surprise and a little bit of a willingness to see that this is a complicated issue when religion runs against basically a what seems to be public opinion, for instance, in regarding same-sex marriage. The same-sex marriage question that people were asked, where it has gone up from 27% support to 70% support, is, do you think marriages between same-sex couples should or should not be recognized by the law as valid, with the same rights as traditional marriages? And now, because of the way I think partially that they asked the question, you find 70% of Americans who say, yeah, because obviously that you have an entire Pride Month, which is dedicated to that proposition. And it also seems to me that since America has lived with a gay marriage for some time now, and it is not exploded all across the country. According to the best figures you can get from the government, it is now 0.8%, less than 1% of all marriages that take place are same-sex marriages. It has not changed America either for the better, as many people believe, or for the worse, as radically as many people feared. We will be right back with a change in a movie to remove Trump's name. Why? Well, we'll get to it on the MedVet Show. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook of me reading every single word of, I think, one of the most important books that's out there right now. And it comes to you together with an MP3 player, so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audio book and hardcover book bundle. This can be an important tool in combating some of the toxic lies about America. God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. For a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill so you have the exact support you need regardless of your sleep position. It comes with a 10-year warranty. It's washable and dryable so it stays healthy, and it's 100% made in the USA. I'm also going to give you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my Giza Dream bed sheets, my mattress toppers, bath towels, and so much more. That's $29.98 for a queen-size premium MyPillow, the lowest price ever, and deep discounts on all my MyPillow products.
Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
There are some folks who seem to get the idea that Hollywood does better if it isn't so political, just banging the drum, talking about, I don't want to work, I just want to bang on the drum all day. Hollywood bangs on the same political drums, even in entertainments that are created simply to divert people. And sometimes people don't like it. But you actually can say a little bit of a hooray for Hollywood when one of the most creative minds in the entertainment business seems to get the idea. This hooray for Hollywood.
Just to give me another decade of not having to behave myself.
Hooray for Hollywood.
I'm the king of the world.
He's super Coney Hollywood.
Okay, one of the kings of the Hollywood world is clearly Lin-Manuel Miranda. I mean, okay, he wasn't great as the chimney sweep in the revised Mary Poppins, but he made great contributions to the very successful Disney film Moana, where he wrote the songs. And, of course, he's had spectacular success with Hamilton. And now with In the Heights, it's on its way. It's released tomorrow. We'll have a review of the film. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be, for celebrating the occasion, in Washington Heights tomorrow, New York City. But in any event, the article in Variety points out that a lot has changed since In the Heights first debuted on Broadway in 2008. And, in fact, In the Heights was originally written as a student musical by Lin-Manuel Miranda at Wesleyan College, which he attended. Now, he, of course, is really one of the most successful writers, creators, musicians in the entertainment industry. But he's been trying to do a movie version of In the Heights, which originally won the Tony Award for Best Musical on Broadway back in 2008 when it debuted, actually won the award for 2009. And it's set in the largely Dominican neighborhood of Washington Heights, Dominican and Puerto Rican. And that dream is finally becoming a reality of getting a big feature film. We'll review the film tomorrow from Warner Brothers and on HBO Max. That's after a setback because of the pandemic occasion. However, there's been one aspect of the film that has been re-edited, and it has to do with a song, a really remarkable production number called 96,000. And no, this is not like counting the minutes or the hours like that song from Rent. This song is about the report that the bodega, the little corner grocery that is owned and operated by the main character in the movie, played by Anthony Ramos, has found out that somebody to whom he has sold a lottery ticket has just won $96,000 in the lottery. And in the song, the block discovers that he sold the winning lottery ticket, and the character Benny, who's played in the film by Corey Hawkins, dreams about what he might do with the big winnings. And he makes up a whole different series of things that he imagines that he would do if he had $96,000. And one of the original lyrics in the song says, "I'll be a businessman richer than Nina's daddy. Donald Trump and I on the links. And he's my caddy." That's pretty funny. And they changed it. They took out Donald Trump's name. Now it says, "I'll be a businessman richer than Nina's daddy." And it does say Donald Trump and I. It says Tiger Woods and I on the links, and he's my caddy. So why did they take out Trump's name? When I wrote it, Lin-Manuel Miranda told Variety, Trump was an avatar for the Monopoly Man. He was just like a famous rich person. Then when times move on, and this is Miranda talking outside the movie, and he becomes the stain on American democracy, you change the lyric. Time made a fool of that lyric, and so we changed it. And basically, I think the reason they took it out, and it's a good idea to take it out. This is an attempt to be a feel-good movie. And basically, whether you mention Trump's name, whatever context you mention his name, it's not a a feel-good note in the film. Because obviously the film, which is about very young people who are of Caribbean ancestry, by and large, from Dominican Republic and from Puerto Rico, it's just not going to fit for a movie. John M. Chu, who is the director of the film, who did before Crazy Rich Asians, describes the new film as Vaccine for Your Soul. So this is one vaccine that Trump is not going to take credit for or be invoked in. And by the way, he might actually enjoy the movie. This came down from an email, and it's from Aaron in Otis Orchards, Washington. And he says, food for thought. I'm listening to yesterday's broadcast about conservatives and vaccines. You mentioned that perhaps more religious leaders and political leaders need to encourage the vaccine more. I'm a Mormon, very religious. Our church as a whole was invited and asked to fast and pray for a vaccine last year. We did. And lo and behold, a short time later, we had three effective vaccines. Prayers answered, right? I've been vaccinated. But there are two members of my family who refuse to get vaccinated. It's bewildering, he writes. Because on the one hand, they also participate in the prayer and fast, and on the other, they fall victim to the conspiracy theory madness. Our leaders of our church have also been vaccinated. Trump and Pence were vaccinated. Doesn't matter. My mom is especially interesting. My dad passed away in January from pulmonary fibrosis of the lungs. But my mother, he writes, believes it was accelerated as a result of COVID infection. It was never confirmed. But still, in light of that, she won't get vaccinated. It's so odd to me. What are your thoughts? My thoughts are it's also odd to me. And it just seems to me that the one thing that I would speak to your mom about is if she doesn't think the vaccine will benefit her and benefit society at large and benefit the whole country, how is it that we've gotten so much better, that we've been able to open up? It really is an answered prayer, and that's a very powerful point that you make. Many of the people who, when President Trump announced Operation Warp Speed, said, wow, he can never do it. Well, he did it. They did it. And so why not celebrate that and continue to make America better? It just seems to me such an obvious question. Why not? We will be right back on the MedBed Show.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The Department of Labor says weekly unemployment insurance claims have fallen to their lowest levels since the beginning of the pandemic. The new data showing 376,000 people filed new claims last week, continuing a downward trend over the last few months. The unemployment rate still remains higher than pre-pandemic levels at 5.8% in May. And the CDC says the number of cases of heart inflammation in younger recipients of the Pfizer or Moderna COVID vaccines were higher than expected, but still rare. The agency says it's received 275 cases of inflammation in 16 to 24-year-olds following their second dose of the vaccine, based on data from its vaccine safety monitoring system. Scientists say more research is needed to determine how much of a factor the vaccine played in those cases. The CDC emphasizes that the number of cases is still very small compared to the number of people who have received the vaccine. This is USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, I'm sure everybody here remembers the very amusing old TV series, Portlandia. And I particularly like the one where they were talking about how when you were ordering chicken in Portland, you could get chicken that was raised in a particularly humane and all-comforting situation. And that you were informed about what the name of your chicken was before you ate it. Now, there's a lot of laughter that used to go on about Portland and its extreme political correctness. Nobody's laughing anymore. It's just it's a truly horrible situation in that city. And it seems to only get worse in the state of Oregon, and that particularly a reflection of the extraordinarily brain-dead leftism that characterizes the leadership there. And they have just earned another Golden Turkey Award nomination.
Bigger than the Academy Awards.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank God.
Groovier than the Grammys.
I would like to thank my wonderful agent.
And more powerful than the People's Choice.
I would like to share this with every single senator.
Now, it's time for another Golden Turkey Award nomination.
Woo-hoo! Thank you so much!
And this one goes jointly, it's going to have to be shared, to Governor Kate Brown of Oregon, to the State House of Oregon, to the State Senate of Oregon, because they have passed one of the most badly timed, one of the most stupid pieces of legislation that I've had the opportunity to speak to you about ever. The story from the Oregonian says Oregon communities must rewrite local rules to allow Oregonians to sit, lie, sleep, and keep warm and dry on public property throughout the state. House Bill 3115, which passed the House yesterday afternoon and is en route to Governor Kate Brown's desk, is a response to a 2018 landmark homelessness case that impacted most Western states with an intent to better support individuals experiencing homelessness. Now, let me say, they say their excuse for this bill is it's a trying to conform to this particular decision, which was called Martin versus Boise. That was a decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. It is extremely likely, it seems to me, that it will be overturned. Because what they say, and this is the way they describe it, and it's accurate enough in terms of describing the decision, while local governments should already be following rules set forth by the case known as Martin versus Boise, the bill, written at the behest of House Speaker Tina Kotek, forces cities throughout Oregon to officially change any ordinance language still on the books so it will be in line with the court decision. In the controversial ruling, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said governments cannot criminalize conduct that's unavoidable as a result of experiencing homelessness. To punish a homeless individual for sleeping outside when there aren't enough shelter beds would be comparable to punishing the individual for the mere fact that they are homeless, a consequence in the court described as cruel and unusual punishment. You follow? In other words, if you don't have a shelter bed to provide to somebody, he can sleep wherever he wants. That's the court decision. Now the state of Oregon, through legislation, has gone even further. Allison McIntosh, policy director for the Oregon Housing Alliance, said in a letter supporting the bill that the Martin case on its own doesn't provide enough clarity about what public property people are allowed to sleep on. Also, she said, this is the policy director for the Oregon Housing Alliance, cities have worked around Martin by enforcing no camping rules on some public property while not enforcing it on other public land. This does not solve the problem, though, for either people experiencing homelessness or law enforcement, she writes. Can you imagine law enforcement having to deal with this new bill? It does not provide people experiencing homelessness clear guidance about where they can or cannot sit or sleep. But McIntosh said the bill is a step in the right direction. While the Martin case could be overturned in the future, God willing it will be, the new law would still protect unsheltered people sleeping on public land. Now, right now, if anyone drives around Portland, if you drive around Seattle, you drive around Los Angeles, drive around San Francisco, or on the East Coast, do you think what you need is a specific piece of legislation that says to localities, you're not allowed to restrict people from sleeping in your parks? The bill also goes a step further than the court case with the addition of the demand to allow people to engage in activities that they find necessary to keep warm and dry. This could include things like pitching a tent on public property to stay protected from severe weather. It could also, it seems to me, include people building a fire or bringing a camp stove or whatever. In public parks, cities have until July 1st, 2023 to update their ordinance language. Now, my hope is that this whole court case will be overturned by July 1st, 2023, but who knows? Under these new rules, cities can still decide what is considered reasonable enforcement. This means a city could prevent someone from sleeping on one piece of land if it clearly makes other public land available for individuals experiencing homelessness to sleep on. If a city wants to completely prohibit people from sleeping on public land, the city must first provide enough housing or emergency shelter beds for every person who is experiencing homelessness within this jurisdiction. In other words, if you are approaching a homeless encampment, like say that now notorious homeless encampment in the Bitter Lake neighborhood of North Seattle, where they have a homeless encampment with more than 50 tents on school property adjacent to the Broadview Thompson Elementary School. You could come up to people there and say, you know what, we have a really nice encampment site for you elsewhere on city school district property, or we've made arrangements for you to have a campsite somewhere else. Do you mind moving? And then I guess they could say yes or they could say no. And but the idea that you cannot say to people you are not allowed to camp in city parks, you are not allowed to camp on public places, that's now illegal. And in the state of Oregon, you cannot prohibit, even as a locality, people from camping on public property altogether. What's the use of the public property? The use of parkland? The use of any understanding of preserving the livability of our cities? This is simply madness. Complete madness. And the idea that people are afraid to talk about it, I'm not, obviously. I mean, talk radio is not. But why has this issue not become more of a public issue? I hope that it will be in some of the local elections coming up. Speaking of local elections, a pizza analogy to describe one of the most publicized and important elections in the country this year. We will get to that and more on The Medved Show.
This is The Michael Medved Show.
This is totally, completely inappropriate.
The pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there.
Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Michael Medved show. Yesterday I was talking about the new surveys that show that among Democrats, self-identified Democrats, 3% say they will never get vaccinated. Among Republicans, 27% say we will never get vaccinated. By the way, I am not part of that 27%. I'm very proud. Very happy I got vaccinated, which allows us to go to New York City, which is where we're headed. And not permanently at all, just for a couple of days to visit our daughter. But this came out from John in Vista, California, who wrote, I think one reason conservatives are overrepresented in people not getting vaccinated is somewhat of a disagreement from the beginning with the idea of the coronavirus being a problem for everyone. That's why they oppose the lockdowns and their devastation. If you can vaccinate the vulnerable and the worried, then why subject the relatively not vulnerable to the hassle and to the possible risks? Personally, I have never gotten a flu shot, but I anticipate getting them as I get older and weaker. Not taking the vaccine is a way of giving the middle finger to the system for taking policy approaches that one disagrees with vehemently. Okay, this should be policy approaches you disagree with vehemently? To try to do lockdowns when you have an emergency, and which, by the way, very clearly worked. And I'm glad that the lockdowns are done in almost all places and in almost most places. But the idea that they are done just because people didn't like the policy is not true. They're done because the vaccines have worked. And it's one of those issues where, okay, I understand that there is a great conservative impulse to give the middle finger to government programs that seem to interfere where no interference is appropriate. But let me tell you, it's appropriate when it comes to COVID-19. And it is simply not true that children do not get the infection. They do not get the disease. They're much less likely to get it. And yet the entire pandemic around the world has been so devastating and so clear in parts of the world that you can make progress against it with a vaccine. It really should be something that people agree about. And I do think that part of the conservative overrepresentation about people who don't want to get the vaccine has to do with people associating it with a political fraud. In other words, the idea that that the entire vaccine came up as a means of saying to people, well, now that Biden is elected, things are all right. It's not true. Trump was behind the vaccine. And it was really his program on Operation Warp Speed that I think made the vaccines possible. Obviously, that's the case. And I've said many times that I think it would be a very good idea for President Biden to give Trump some more credit, because it's possible you'd get some of these hardcore, I won't get vaccinated people to acknowledge that it's a good idea. And it's not only a good idea for you. In other words, you determine whether or not you smoke. But you don't determine whether or not you smoke at a place that decides, oh, we want no smoking here. And one of the reasons that basically we have as a society come to the idea that it should be encouraged to have places where there's no smoking is because there is such a thing as secondhand smoke. It's real. It's real. A critical email came in from Beth in Salt Lake City, Utah. And Beth, thank you for listening. She says, I'm a longtime listener and love your show. However, there's one issue I cringe every time you bring it up. I hate how you always feel the need to denigrate the homeless. I doubt you ever encounter them, but if you did, would you, one, spew your hatred at them like you do on the radio, two, secretly show some sympathy by giving them some money, or three, tell them to get a job and run away? Answer, none of the above. I don't tend to talk to strangers unless they want to speak to me. And certainly I don't mean to talk to strangers to spew hatred at them, or to, and I certainly wouldn't want to secretly give them some money, or very publicly give them money. Why not? Because I don't think it helps people to accommodate them living out in public. It doesn't help people, and it doesn't help the community. And I don't know if in Salt Lake you deal with the homeless situation. I think it's very possible you do. I'm sure you deal with it better than Seattle. But the homeless encampments that are, and that's not a big challenge. That's a low bar. Seattle, it's a disaster. It's a complete disaster. Because these places are unhealthy. They are dens of crime. They are destroying property values. If you look at the impact on, for instance, this elementary school, where people are leaving the city because their children are being forced to go around next to homeless encampments. Beth concludes her email by saying, my challenge to you is simple. Say one nice, kind word about our homeless brethren. The Bible is full of examples from Moses to Jesus helping the poor. Please be a better person. I don't believe that helping people take drugs and live on the streets, destroy neighborhoods while they're destroying themselves, is helping them. The one kind word, and I'll take your challenge, Beth, is that there are people who have been homeless and have recovered and become useful members of society. I know that can happen. But it can't happen if you're saying that you deserve public support, you deserve sanctification, you deserve admiration for living out on the street. It's a sign of a gigantic social problem, And it cannot be helped or advanced or improved by somehow providing people with more resources, making it easier for them to go to bed at night. And one of the things that I've illustrated here, Beth, is that I feel terribly sorry for people who have chronic alcoholism. But we have the drunk dorms here in Seattle, built at a cost of $8 million to accommodate chronic alcoholics. I know why they did it. Because some of the chronic alcoholics who are homeless are what they call frequent flyers. There was a story of one guy in San Francisco who had been taken away by ambulance more than 200 times, living on the streets. The basic point here is, and I know your faith in Salt Lake City, or the faith that most people in Salt Lake City uphold, basically does indicate that being helpful to people involves encouraging self-reliance and encouraging some move toward a better life. It doesn't mean allowing people to continue to degrade themselves. And that is certainly, you talk about the examples of Moses and Jesus and all great religious leaders. I don't think you would see a lot of idea illustrated about that impulse when you're touring a typical homeless encampment. One of the great regrets that I have about our national conversation altogether, we used to have a qualification of people, and this goes back 100 years, where people would talk about the deserving poor. And the deserving poor were people who were down on their luck, who had a strike against them. Dickens writes about people in that situation beautifully. It includes his own father autobiographically. But the point is, you don't try to encourage and allow people to continue to be poor. And basically helping people step up, as some of the homeless programs, private charities do, is admirable. And that is my answer to your challenge, Beth. And it's a challenge, really, for the whole country. How can you be helpful if you're overly indulgent in this greatest nation on God's green earth?
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.